Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Pod Strickland. I'm your host, Schwinny Poo, and this is episode 146. We are coming out to you after probably one of the most gut-wrenching losses possible from the Knicks. They dropped a game, I don't even know what the final, what was it, 119-115. Sure, yeah, we'll talk about it. And yeah, great. I am joined by my co-host, Prez. Prez, what's going on?
Not much. You know, I'm just going to focus on this G League victory, Miles McBride, all that, et cetera, in the meantime, because denial is a coping mechanism, and it's the one that I choose right now.
Nice. All right, and we are joined by a first-time guest. His name is Chip Jones. You can follow him on Twitter at ChipJNBA. He does a lot of stuff, a lot of it for the Bulls-related things. Chip, what's going on?
Not much, you know, can't complain. I'm excited to be on, first time guest. It was a fun game. It didn't look as fun early, but it got pretty close. So I mean, you know, that's better than Grizzly Thunder or something.
Yes, definitely a better game than Grizzly Thunder. Yeah. All right. Anyway, but before we get started, the Strickland does have a Patreon. You can subscribe to it. There are a lot of tiers. There's a $6 tier. With that, you get access to this podcast here in full. You also get access to the Knicks mailbag that I do every other week with Jeremy Cohen and Drew Steele. Also, you get access to the Strickland Discord, where we talk, commiserate, make plans for the Knicks, none of them that ever come to fruition, but it's fun. And yeah, there are other tiers also. There's a $9 tier, which I would highly recommend you subscribe to. If you're going to subscribe, that comes with access to weekly articles from Jack Huntley and Matthew Miranda, who are among the best writers in general, and definitely for basketball, and most certainly for the Knicks. Also, you get access to another podcast I do where I yell. So if you want to hear me yell more, listen to that. And there are further tiers past $9. There's a $15 tier, $30 tier, $50 tier, and $100 tier. These tiers will give you various access to various things, such as coming onto a pod as a co-host or as a guest. And you can tell me how much of a fucking idiot I am. But if you subscribe or not, we appreciate your listening and patronage anyway. None of this would be possible without you. And without further ado, let's talk about the Knicks game. I am just going to yell because I need to yell about a few things.
Just get into it, bro.
Drive me nuts. I'm going to need the Knicks. And, you know, I'm not going to say the Knicks. I'm going to need Mitchell Robinson to not play like a fat fucking piece of shit for the entire first half of games. I'm going to need him to do stuff like, oh, Vucevic is fucking hitting 79% from three. Maybe I will try to close out on him. I'm going to need him to do shit like that. I'm also going to need him to do shit like when Ayo fucking Dosunmu, who weighs 7 pounds, is driving baseline. I'm going to need him to go from the free throw line and challenge that shit at the rim. I'm going to need that. And not just in the second half, not just in the fourth quarter, not just when, you know, Tibbs probably lit a fucking rocket up his ass at halftime. No, I'm going to need that shit from the beginning of each game. I'm also going to need this motherfucker who put on 40 fucking pounds of muscle this offseason. I'm going to need him to set one fucking screen that means anything before the season's over. That's all I want. Set one fucking screen that matters, that gets your guard separation, that creates a shot even. I actually looked up his fucking screen assists the other day, and that's how I know screen assists are the most bullshit stat ever accumulated at NBA.com/stats. Because apparently, and not just that, not just for him, but also for collectively as a group, because apparently the Knicks get the 10th, they generate the 10th most screen assists in the NBA. And anybody who has watched the Knicks can tell you they are one of the worst screening teams in the history of basketball, arguably, but definitely in the NBA right now. And Mitchell Robinson is front and center of that. He needs to stop playing like a piece of shit for entire halves of games. He needs to stop, you know, every time he gets touched on the leg, I don't need to see him act like, you know, he got shot and crawled to the bench and you have three fucking trainers come over and massage him and fucking make sure he's good. Just give me a break, all right? Like, I get it. He's coming back from an injury. He didn't play for a long time. I don't think it's excusable anymore. We're fucking 22 games into the season. And, like, look, I'm happy he played, like, amazing in the second half. Because that second half, he plays like that all the time. We're going to be fine. He was, like, dead at the end of the game. We probably lost that game in part towards the end. I mean, we didn't lose that game entirely because of this, but part of the reason we lost that game towards the end is because he had to come out because he literally could not play anymore. He literally, like, Lonzo Ball, bless his heart, missed about 17 wide open corner threes, mostly because Mitch could not do anything. And then Julius was like, wait, so you want me to help you on Vooch, and then you want me to also go rotate back out to the corner? Ha! Not doing it. And I don't blame him. I'm sorry. I don't blame you. People sit there and blame Julius Randle. I'm not blaming Julius Randle for that. Because if your center cannot do the basics of defense, which let's also be completely honest here. The start of the game, the entire first half, when Mitchell Robinson was on the floor, the Bulls were looking at this man like fucking, they were drooling because they were like, we can just put him in a pick and roll and get whatever we want. That's all they did. That's all they did in the first half. You go back and watch the first half.
They were treating him like Enes Kanter Freedom.
It was different because with Enes Kanter, you just do the primary action and you get a bucket. Sorry, with Mitch, with Mitch, you can just see it. They're like, oh, we don't need to do all we need to do. If we make one pass, we're fine because he's not going to make the second rotation. He would cut off the drive. They would swing it to Vooch, and he would be like, oh, my God, I have to take six steps. I can't do it. I'm good.
And it's especially annoying because, you know, like, that's all the Bulls want to do. All they want to do is make the extra pass. All they love is reaching into the passing lanes and then making the extra pass when they get the ball back. That's like 95% of their plan, and it worked.
I can't even stress how enraged I was watching Mitch in that first half. Like, I don't think I've had a lot of patience with him this year because I understand he's coming back from a long-term injury. I know he's put on weight, which was for good reason. Maybe he's not worked, definitely hasn't worked out like he wanted to or we hoped, but I understand there's a process there. So I've been patient with him, and I understand he's had a lot of injuries and he's had some weird stuff go on with the concussion and all these kind of things. But that first half, that was just like not acceptable. That is not acceptable. That you cannot, like, the most embarrassing part of that first half for me,
especially with your team down, Noel and Taj, like, you, like, there's something to be said for realizing, like, oh, I have to, like yes, there's, like, you want him to try hard all the time, but, like, if your other bigs are down, your vets especially, like, you gotta step up to the plate, my guy. Like,
yeah, it was pathetic. And the one that drove me absolutely nuts, I literally chucked my fucking remote against the wall because it drove me so mad, was he got the ball, like, Vooch got the ball, posted up on Mitch. He was, like, not in a threatening area. You know, he got him, like, 17 feet out, back to the basket. Why did you gain all this fucking muscle, Mitchell Robinson? If when Vooch is posting you up, you start freaking out and, like, reach over him and bear hug him and give him a shooting foul. What the fuck was the point of putting on all this fucking weight if you are going to fucking do that? Jesus Christ. Like, I wanted to fucking punch the wall and break my hand and go to the ER rather than watch Mitchell Robinson for the rest of the first half. That is how fucking dog shit that effort was in the first half. And then for him to come out in the second half and play like, you know, he took what he had fucking access to Barry Bonds' steroids at halftime and just like fucking jump out of the, like, it was crazy to watch the difference. And it's like, is that really what it takes? And like, people will sit there and be like, oh, Fournier didn't play well, Brooks didn't hit shots, blah, blah, blah. I'm telling you, you watch that first half back again, the biggest reason we were down by 78 points is Mitchell Robinson, bar none. Like, he was so bad that there was no hope on defense because he didn't do anything. He literally did not do a single fucking thing that mattered or had any impact. Well, no, actually, no. He did a lot of things that had impact, all beneficial to Chip's Bulls. And the second thing I want to bitch about, and I just want to say this. The Knicks did not lose this game because of the officiating. I want to make that very, very clear. I am not about to bitch about the officials because I don't think that the Knicks lost this game because of officiating. But the officials had zero control of this fucking game in the first half. They had no idea what they were doing in the first half of this game. And they absolutely had no fucking clue what they were doing because they clearly came out with some vendetta of like, oh, well, you're going to bitch about the refs last game. Well, we're going to send a message. And the message they decided to send was, we're going to eject Taj Gibson because he got mad about two fucking moving screens in the first quarter of the game. Like, the second moving screen was probably a moving screen. The first one was complete bullshit. I don't care what they say. That was a bullshit moving screen. You never call that shit. To eject him for that, like, literally, I think it was 7 minutes into the game, maybe even less, it was ridiculous. Like, that was so egregious
Even Mike Breen, who is always giving deference to the
Mike Breen is a cop when it comes to officiating. Mike Breen will literally defend.
He was flabbergasted on air with Clyde. Even Clyde was like, "Wow, Mike, I never see you like this." Like,
Mike Breen would like defend Tim Donaghy. Like, that's how committed he is to defending refs. I could not believe what I was watching that first quarter. Then, like, the call they gave on Julius when Rose went up for the layup. Like, if that's a foul, if you're really going to call that, you got to – then you just better – like, we might as well just, you know, call the game. And what we'll just do is have teams alternate free throws on every possession. Because that is absurd. Like, he gave whatever, Javonte Green, who, by the way, like, did a great job on Julius. Also, which great job on Julius involved him literally like dry humping him up and down the floor most of the game. If you're going to call that on him and take away 2 points from it, like, that's just such a bullshit call. And you could tell that they knew what they did in the first quarter was utterly bullshit, because in the second quarter, they couldn't stop blowing the fucking whistle for the Knicks. Every time the Knicks drove to the lane, it was like, oh, yeah, you get free throws. It was like the Oprah meme, right? Oh, for you, free throws for you, free throws for you. That's all it was. And these guys are a joke. And then in the third quarter, no free throws for either team. No free throws anymore. Like, these guys have no fucking clue what they're doing. And it's absurd. Like, it is absurd for this, the second straight game I've watched. The last game against the Nets, the Knicks just got a shitty whistle. I would actually argue that game, the Knicks probably did just lose because of officiating. This one, I don't think so. I think the Knicks got a shitty whistle in the beginning of the game. I think that evened out in the second quarter. And I thought in the second half, it was fine, I guess. But, like, to have that much fluctuation within a game, it's ridiculous to expect guys, and not just the Knicks, the Bulls will obviously play this game too, but is it ridiculous to expect NBA players to, like, adjust? Like, this is not like a fucking, like, video game.
It's like a consistency
and everything
thing, yeah.
Adjusts automatically. It's ridiculous. So, like, the refs in the NBA, Tim said this after the last game, and I completely agree with him. Call it, like, if you're going to call it tight, call it tight. If you're going to call it loose, call it loose. But don't fucking switch up in the middle of the game. Like, don't do that. Just call it one way and call it that way for the entire fucking game. Because I don't want to deal with, like, I didn't particularly appreciate the second quarter where they were, like, clearly doing a bunch of makeup calls either. Because it was like, well, you already ruined the fucking first quarter of the game here. So now you're just making it up to us? Like, give me a break. I hated that. And then the third thing I'm just going to say is this, is if the Knicks cannot be bothered to, you know, get their shit together on the defensive glass for more than a half of each game, they're just going to be a 500 team, and they're going to be in the play-in, and maybe they'll, you know, be lucky enough to win a playoff series. Maybe they'll play the Bulls in the first round if they do that. And maybe, again, they will lose in five games to the Bulls because they just cannot, you know, they just can't find it within them to crash down from the weak side when the center has to make a rotation and contest a shot at the rim and get a rebound. Because that entire first quarter and first half really just felt like watching, like, Taj Gibson was in the game for about 3 minutes, I think, before he decided I need to get an early shower. In those 3 minutes, the guy contested two shots at the rim. Really good contest. Stopped Vooch on one and maybe stopped DeRozan on another. And on neither of those possessions did the Knicks actually get a stop, because Derrick Rose on one, and I don't know who on the other one it was, they watched Alex Caruso's beautiful bald head, and they watched him crash the rim, and they were like, oh, okay, we'll give you those 2 points. And that is what they did, because they don't care about defensive rebounding, because actually they just expect the ball, like, they think they're Magneto. If they stick their hand up, the ball will just come right to them, because there's apparently a metal object in the ball. It was a ridiculous thing to watch. It's been ridiculous to watch all season. And if the Knicks are also just not going to defensive rebound, then why the fuck can't Obi Toppin get more minutes? Because he might not he's not a great defensive rebounder, but God knows he is doing a lot of other things on the court that would help this team. Like, you know, playing with energy for the entire time he's in, for one. All right, I'm going to shut the fuck up now. I had to get all that off my chest.
All right, well, I have thoughts, but I am not going to have a guest on this pod just sit back for 15 minutes of Schwinn spit in bars and then also take over the podcast. So, Chip, any thoughts on any of that?
Well, I mean, I think I agree with the reffing point. It got so bad that, like, I tweeted about the reffing being bad in favor of the other team. Like, in the first quarter, it was horrifying. But I think one thing that I do have to say to, like, help put this in a bit of perspective in the slightest, as like that first quarter was probably the best quarter the Bulls have played all season. We had a really good fourth quarter against the Celtics, but like Vooch has not necessarily had a great start to the season, and he was knocking down shots and Zach was knocking down shots, and you know, when both of them are hot, I think it's really challenging for teams to stop them, especially with you know, a charge getting called or an illegal screen every single possession you guys are on offense.
Yeah. And Zach was awesome. Like, he just made a bunch of tough shots. You can't do anything.
Yeah. Some of his shots are just like fucking, he's like the boogeyman. Like, he'd be quiet for like 20 minutes of the game, and then it's just like, oh, fading. Yeah. Like three, like most players who shoot well don't really jump high off the ground these days. They're more like quick, you know, like Steph, but he's like, nope, I'm jumping 3 feet in the air, so you can't contest me.
Evolutionary and, Tracy McGrady.
Right, seriously. And it's just like, oh, fuck. Like, there's literally nothing you can do about that shit when it works.
Especially, like, I mean, again, I'm not blaming injuries at all, because the Knicks, they could have won this game if they probably tried at all in the first half. But I think, like, you could definitely see, especially the end of the game, you really miss RJ Barrett in a game like that, because, like, you're going to have to stick Evan Fournier on one of DeRozan or Levine. It's just like,
or even IQ. Like these guys, like, they can play solid point of attack defense. It's just Zach is big and he jumps high, and DeMar is bigger and has, like, I'm pretty sure this is the record for spin move mid-range shots made in one game. Like, like, that's like how I used to play, like, NBA Live 2004 with T-Mac or whatever.
I thought you were going to say, like, you personally, like, that's how you
that's play. How Prez plays.
I mean, that is also how I play, and that's why I never played on an organized team.
I was like, wow, like, you must be really good at basketball. No, like, I mean, that's the thing, that, like, RJ is weirdly, like, a good, like, he gives DeRozan problems because he just, like,
he's just like, there. He never bites on anything.
He's just there. Like, that's why he's like the most boring defender. And it's also why he's like not a super, super high impact defender. But it's like, he's just like going to mirror DeRozan. And DeRozan, like, you know, he's awesome, but he wants to go to certain spots, right? Like, and like, obviously he can get to the rim too. But like, I think you can tell, like, I mean, correct me.
Yeah, like today he could have, he was like in the flow and he was like, I'm going to hit middies. And he didn't really go to the rim.
Yeah, he, like, I guess that's what it, like, RJ will, like, he would not be able to get into that nice of a rhythm right from the jump on RJ. Whereas, like, with Burks was, like, generally doing okay, but he was backing off too much and just, like, kind of giving him too much airspace to just kind of, like, gather and go up. And, like, look, DeRozan's a tough cover, so it's not exactly...
I thought that was a big change in the second half when they had the, like, tidal wave in the third quarter was... even guys who aren't particularly athletic on the Knicks, like Fournier and Burks, made a conscious effort to get up in the ball handlers to at least, like, they're like, all right, if you're going to get to your spots, we're going to make it uncomfortable on the way there. Instead of being like, oh, we'll let you get to the elbow and then play defense, but you're already in your office. Like, I'm already sitting at your desk right now and on the elbow. DeMar is going to shoot that shit and it's going to have a good chance of going in every time. But, you know, you take a couple seconds off the clock and you make them lose the flow, and then the passing gets messed up, and that's what you got to do versus the Bulls.
You know what helped is Mitchell Robinson not playing like a fat fucking piece of shit. That's
yeah, what actually helped. Yeah, let me get my, like, quick 2-minute Mitchell Robinson rant. Like, I
messed up. You gotta do it, like, as the disappointed father, because you...
That's the vibe. That's the vibe I'm going for.
Yeah, you and Tyrese and Oscar were like...
No one was a bigger Mitchell Robinson fan than me in all of Knicks Twitter last year. I was the one who wrote the article that, like, scooped up 1,000 dumb stats about, like, on-off rebound numbers and box outs per game and all this shit, because he was great last year at that stuff. And it was wonderful he got hurt, yes, which sucked. But
it was,
like,
wonderful he got hurt?
No, it was wonderful, comma, space.
That's kind of cold, Prez.
Ellipses.
He wasn't that bad.
He got hurt versus the Wizards when he had 10-10 in the first half. I'll never forget it. Like, it was yesterday.
The,
it was
greatest, an awful day. Basketball performance of all time.
Aside from when Frank had 20-10, also, yes, versus the Wizards. So, yep. Clearly the Wizards are the good luck charm here. But, yeah, no, I think the most frustrating thing to me, I shouldn't say the most frustrating thing to me. The most frustrating thing to me is the effort. Like, whatever he did last year, like, he may not have always... He doesn't have, like, top-tier defensive processing. but his instincts are good. There's like a difference between those two things. And last year he had, when he was lighter, he had the freakish quickness and agility to combine his instincts and like make a mistake and still erase a play completely. And now that he's bigger, like all of that, all of the processing errors show up more. The laziness comes out more because there's more plays off he takes. Like the one I tweeted where he was just looking at Cam Thomas versus the Nets and he let Cam Thomas grab the rebound out of the air. Like it wasn't even a box out. They were just like, all right, who's going to go get it?
Harden one?
Right. There was several of them. And it's just, the effort stuff is so annoying. And the pick and pop, like I know our scheme is to overcommit to the paint, but like look, obviously they're different levels of mobile bigs, but look at what the way Julius was playing the pick. He was like hot potato feet. Like he was like, you don't know if I'm gonna go all the way back to the paint or I'm gonna go out or I'm gonna help on the ball handler. Like he kept just enough doubt in the Bulls, not just Vooch, but all of them.
You gotta be on the fucking, like, you gotta be on your toes. Like, you, like, he's like fucking walking around.
You can't
there.
Be predictable. You can't, like, be predictable. And like,
watch Gobert play, right? I'm not saying, obviously, like, I'm not saying Mitch has to be fucking Rudy Gobert because that's insane. I mean, it would be awesome if you wanted to do that. Feel free, Mitch. But like,
feel
like,
free if you're listening, Mitch.
Yeah, Mitch, I know you're listening. But like, if you watch Gobert, like, yes, Gobert is not the most fleet of foot and all these things, but like, it's not just the processing speed, it's also like, when he does something, he's like, he's keeping his feet active. Mitch, there's too many times you watch him and his feet are just like, he's just standing there.
He
like,
concedes.
I don't know if you guys have ever played, did you guys ever, I know President, because Prez is a fucking loser and like only watches two sports. Did you ever play soccer, Chip?
Yes, that was my sport.
Yeah, so like, when you play soccer, you will know this. Stay on your toes, but there's like guys that walk around the pitch. And then there's guys who, like, are always kind of jogging and ready to go. And those guys generally win out in 50-50 balls, whatever. Mitch right now is playing, like, the first guy. He's like, yeah, sure, he's, like, there. And he's in the right spot, maybe. But he's not, like, moving. He's not actually playing with force. I mean, you could see it, the difference in the first half and the second half. Where in the first half, Levine had a drive where he literally just went at Mitch. Mitch was in great position. He was at the rim. But he was just, like, not with it. Not really active, and because he wasn't active, Zach just went into him and finished pretty easily. Like pretty easily just went into him. And I know Zach's gotten stronger, but like, you know, Mitch allegedly got very strong this offseason. So
no, that slow feet thing, it shows up everywhere. Yeah. Like the there was one particularly bad pick and roll possession where Caruso made a great pass. I don't know if it was
Javonte. It was Derrick Jones Jr. I remember this because Derrick Jones Jr. set a better screen on Derrick Rose on that play than Mitchell Robinson has this entire season on anybody.